Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
We just formed a fucking wall.
O'Neal deep in the post. Lots of contact there. Oh, what a block by Wallace. What a jump ball.
This is down 4, 12-8, 7-38 to play the first half. Burst from Rodney. Stuck into the rim. Count that baby in a foul.
Reggie inside for Andre. Oh. And a dynamite dunk.
Pistons fans, hello and welcome to another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast. Brendan Johnson, Aaron Johnson, Ryan Pay, all here with you as the regular season is officially underway for your 500 Detroit Pistons. Boys, we sit here today, and I feel like there's a little bit more of a somber tune than maybe there even needs to be. A tough home opener loss for Detroit. As they fall to the Atlanta Hawks. Coming off back-to-back after a real nice Game 1 win over the Indiana Pacers, they go on the road, they take care of business. And Aaron, I'll turn to you first. Just, you know, how you doing? The regular season's underway. Pistons are 500. And, you know, how we doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I mean, if you check Twitter right now, You'd see that the world is falling, the Pistons season's over already, just with some of the early reactions to losing a game that you didn't have your star player in, your best player in, your starting point guard couldn't play in. You're coming in off a back-to-back, going up against a young team on fresh legs, and the Pistons lose, and Twitter's reacting like the world's over. But I myself doing good. I'm remaining calm. I think that's something that a lot of people should practice doing. Just the reactions kind of already crazy coming out of the gate here. I get the excitement with the seasons here. Certainly there's that anticipation that's built up and that excitement to go watch, you know, the Pistons play on the floor, and I get all that, but you know, it's game two. It's game two, guys. There's a lot of games to play. There's gonna be another game played on Saturday. There's gonna be another game played after that. Basketball is going to be around. The Pistons will have plenty of more opportunities to win ball games. Everyone's just got to chill. I myself, though, I'm doing great, Brendan.
Good. Ryan, what's going on, man?
How you doing, Brendan? You know, I mean, I'm fine. No somber mood here. I'm chilling.
Like, Good. All right.
I'm not bothered by it.
I'm glad we're doing okay. I thought we might have a little bit more of a somber tone, but I think we're going to be all right.
No, there's no somber tones here.
You know,
I think we're chilling.
I want to start with the positive, and I want to start by looking back at opening night for Detroit. And, you know, they're able to go on the road. They go to Indiana. Dre drops 32. Luke drops 30. Detroit picks up a big 119-110 win over Indiana. And you just kind of saw everything play out in the way we painted this season to be for Detroit. We talked about how Dre was going to need to establish himself and be a leader, and he did so. 32-23. I mean, come on. And it wasn't a forced 32 where it was a high-volume shooting, bog things down. It was just efficient play. Dre looked really good, point one. You know, and point two,
You saw the Derrick Rose effect and what he can bring to this team, playing with the second unit, playing meaningful minutes in the fourth, and really throughout the second half, showed his value to the Pistons. So it was a really exciting game one victory in Indiana and a pretty positive way to start the year.
Yeah, that was a good win for Detroit. You know, Indiana's in the same boat as the Pistons are in right now, playing without their star player, playing without their best player, and the Pistons were able to go out and beat a good, you know, that's still a good Indiana team. Just like the Pistons want to still be able to be a good, considered a good team without Blake Griffin, the Pacers are showing, or did show last year, that they're a good team without Victor Oladipo. And for the Pistons to go out there and beat them, that was an impressive win. One of the best performances of Andre Drummond's career, maybe his best of his career. Derrick Rose looked good. Obviously, you got the career night from Luke Kennard. But outside of that, there wasn't a whole lot to look at and be like, oh, the Pistons are doing this well, the Pistons are doing that well, these guys are meshing well. Quieter night from Tony Snell than you would have liked. Markieff Morris, really in both these games, has struggled shooting the basketball. Not a lot of other guys have really made an impact yet. It's been Andre Drummond, Derrick Rose, and Luke Kennard. And that's something that will have to change. But overall, it's a good win for the Pistons. And that's kind of they're going to be the game plan for them without Blake Griffin. It's going to be centered around Andre Drummond. And it's going to be centered around Derrick Rose and Luke Kennard picking up a lot of minutes and getting a lot of action with the basketball. And, you know, you got to hope that Reggie Jackson's able to come back and he can contribute, because he's someone that you need scoring the ball at a respectable rate, because he's, you know, a key player on this team. But outside of that, that's kind of the game plan. It's going to be a lot of centered stuff around Drummond, Kennard, and Rose. And then these other guys got to find a way to plug themselves in and hit those shots when those opportunities comes. Because, you know, a guy like Markieff Morris, he's getting looks. He's taken 11 shots in both games, but he's not converting them. And he's getting open threes. He's getting to the cup a little bit, and he's just not converting on those opportunities. Snell's also gotten some open looks that he hasn't hit on. I do expect those to hit, considering his percentages. You know, throughout his career, 38%, 39% career three-point shooter. I expect that those shots to start falling, but those are two guys that got to plug themselves in and contribute more for Detroit.
Go ahead, Brandon. Well, you had something you wanted to say?
You know,
you
want
to
add something? I think a couple of the things we saw, I look at in game one, and one of those is it was sloppy. But I wasn't worried, because it's game one. Things are going to happen, you know? You saw turnover after turnover in the first half, couple miscues. But you got guys out there that are still learning to play together with some new pieces. Not worried about it. I saw the aggressiveness of Luke Kennard, and I want to talk about that for a minute, because that's something that was so there in game one. And, I mean, Luke was just pulling up, doing his thing. I mean, just goes off for 30. I mean, come on. The guy had a great game. And then you see him versus Atlanta in the home opener, way more hesitant. And I think Aaron set up, you know, the over-under was a 300 pump fakes for Luke at Little Caesars Arena versus the Atlanta Hawks. So let's talk about that for a minute, Ryan. Luke in game one was so special and had a much quieter night versus the Hawks on the back half of the back-to-back.
Yeah, Brendan. And what I think you see here is two things about this Pistons team. Is one, going away from Luke for a second, they need Blake Griffin. I know last night everyone was like, good, great, we don't need Blake. Like, let's get Blake more rest. We need Blake Griffin. But two, we need confident, aggressive Luke Kennard. You saw it in game one when Luke is aggressive and unconscious and just pulling. I'm open, hit the ball, you pass the ball, I'm pulling. I'm good to go. It gets going for him. He just gets on that streak. He's in rhythm. When he's hesitant and he's about his pump fakes and his dribble shot, he's off. It throws him out of rhythm. And that's something that's going to hurt this team all throughout the year, even when Blake's healthy and back.
Right.
It doesn't matter. So two things that are – no. Well, there's three things that are essential for this team. Dre plays – like he's been playing, you know, healthy Blake and Luke Kennard being confident. That is so crucial for this team. So you can already see it 2 games in.
Because here's the thing. You look at his game versus the Hawks, a less confident Luke Kennard, and an efficient night. And
3 of 12, 13 points. And he started the game, 3 for 4? So
there you have it.
There it is.
I would much rather see those numbers with a confident Luke. You know, I'd much rather see him putting up a volume of shots. And if he shoots a poor percentage, if he only has 12 points, I'll live with it.
It's one thing if he was confident. It was just an off shooting night. Fine. I mean, whatever. Happens. Fine. Those nights are going to happen. But it wasn't really even that tonight in this game against the Hawks. It was him being hesitant in what he was trying to accomplish on the offensive end.
And that's the thing. Luke was extremely hesitant tonight, and he still got plenty of opportunities to shoot the basketball. I mean, he took 12 shots. Last year, that's a good night for Luke Kennard in shot attempts. He was extremely hesitant tonight, and he still had 12 field goal attempts. Mm-hmm. This is a guy that, in reality, honestly, with Blake Griffin out, is it crazy to say he should be getting 20?
I was going to say 15 to 17, but 20, I'm not mad at it. Yeah. I'm not mad at it. The guy is an unbelievable shooter.
The guy scored 30 and on 13 shots.
30 in the on game. 13 shots. He's an unbelievable shooter. I was going to say 15 to 17, but if you want to go 20, you're not going to get mad at me. Right. I'm the same guy who said, I think Luke should be playing 33 to 35 minutes at times.
Right.
I think he's that important. So you're not going to get me arguing that.
Well, again, here in Palace of Pistons podcast, Aaron tips the cap that we are recording just after the Pistons' 117-100 loss to the Atlanta Hawks. That's what we do. We grind it out. Game's over. We're here potting.
We're here in the lab. We're here in the lab. But I think I said tonight too, so I gave it up too. But so be it.
It's all good. But that's what we do. I just want people to know.
It's Thursday night, not Friday morning.
Not
here with us.
Maybe we just need to drop this. Maybe we just need to do a little late Thursday night drop for our Piston faithful that are up, awake, staring at the ceiling, unable to sleep.
Dude, I can't sleep over it. Can feel that click through rate, bro.
Broken.
This is the In the Feels Pistons podcast. That's what we are.
Such an emotional high, that game against Indiana. Just the emotional high. Dre playing the best game of his career. Luke putting 30 on 13. All of a sudden, just to have it come crashing down against the Hawks.
Jeez, I mean, Pistons Twitter roll call. Everybody's checking in. Everybody's in their seat. It's first day of school. You're dressed up nice. You're looking fancy. You're all excited. Pistons go on the road. They get a win. You're all excited. They come home. They got shirts laying on seats in the lower bowl, Little Caesars Arena. Everybody is juiced for this home opener that, hey, looks like a very winnable game for Detroit. And, yeah, you're playing with no Blake. And then, yeah, Reggie, you could see he was hurting game one, leaves game two. You have some things that hold you back, but kind of a letdown for Pistons Twitter and the Pistons faithful.
Why are you laying there in bed emotionally a wreck listening to Marvin's Room when you could be listening to the Palace of Pistons podcast? I mean, I'm just being real. If you're that, you know... I get it. It's a tough Thursday night. You could be listening to Marvin's Room right now. You should be listening to the Palace of Pistons podcast.
Marvin's Room.
We're walking you through.
This is not a Toronto Raptors podcast. Marvin's we owe nothing room. To Drake to give him that free
all
advertisement.
All in your feels, man. Wow.
I can't believe Aaron dropped that. But, I mean, are you talking from experience?
I think Aaron was rocking Marvin's Room during the game.
Oh, my God. Are you drunk right now?
No, I should be.
But you're underage, so don't even think about it. Older brother on your case.
Yeah, I'm just saying you could do better. That's what a lot of people are thinking right now about the Pistons. They're looking at Luke Kennard, and they're like, I'm just saying you could do better. You know, look at what you did last night. That's how they're reacting. That's how they're feeling right now. So I'm just being real with you. But, you know, bringing it back to basketball, bringing it back to reality, it was kind of a tough loss for Detroit. They shouldn't have lost that game. But at the same time, no Blake Griffin, no Reggie Jackson, back-to-back. It's not the end of the world. And to take away the positives from this game, it's that, one, Tim Frazier can come in and he can compete with you guys. And he's certainly capable of coming in when Reggie Jackson can't play or Derrick Rose is on his minutes restriction. And he can come in and score the ball and run the offense, and he can be just fine. unlike last year when Jose Calderon was coming in and losing games for Detroit. You know, there's just not going to be a lot to take away from this game when your key players were out and you lose. There's just not going to be a ton of positive takeaways, and it's going to be easy to look at some of the negatives, which we've already talked about from the Atlanta game. But I think something that needs to be brought up, and Dwayne Casey said it after the game, he was kicking himself for not playing Christian Wood. Wood played 3 minutes against the Pacers and apparently played bad enough to not come back in after going in the first quarter against Indiana and not get on the floor against Atlanta.
Listen, I want everybody to take a deep breath. Dwayne Casey is doing what he has to do to keep a locker room in check. Thon Maker is in a position where he was projected as the backup five. He was put in a spot where he's led to believe to be in that position, and you don't want to just take that away from a guy and give it to somebody who has not had an NBA true stint yet. Listen, Dwayne Casey's managing a locker room here. The switch will happen. Christian Wood will take over Thon Maker's time, but you don't want to lose guys and get people pissed off. It's just a morale thing. I'm telling you.
Are you kidding me?
It will happen. But Dwayne Casey has to do it the right way. I'm telling you, it will happen. Christian Wood almost did not make the roster.
That may be one of your worst takes yet.
No. For Christian Wood to be on the verge of not making the roster, to then to overtake Thon, who they've taken a chance on and brought in and guys have rallied around and support, that just wasn't going to happen.
Thon Maker's a top 10 pick that hasn't looked like a basketball player for quite some time.
And you're right, and Dwayne Casey's doing his due diligence to let Thon play his way out of that role and give Christian Wood a chance. He had to do that.
You're trying to win basketball games. Keeping a locker room over a backup big man that's not going to be on the roster next year does not matter.
But Aaron, I hate to break your heart here, but Brendan's spot on.
From under a guy that his teammates have rallied around and supported, and you took a chance on this guy.
Brendan said it best with the one line. He's letting Thon play his way out of the rotation. Managing egos in the NBA is like 85% of the battle for head coaches.
100%.
And does Thon seem like he has this crazy, huge ego and he's going to tear down a locker room? No, but he's still managing egos. That's the downfall of almost every coach in the NBA. The NBA is so Hollywood. So egotistical.
The thing is, it's becoming sports in general. I mean, I swear to God, you see it at even a high school and a college level. You have to manage egos. You have to manage personalities. And at the NBA level, Ryan, you're 100% right. Do you think the NBA head coaches are there doing scouting and film breakdown and game planning? I'm going to tell you right now, not really. The assistant coaches are putting all of that together under the philosophy of the head coach, and he has guys that are in place that follow the head coach's philosophy and game plan to their system and their style. But Dwayne Casey's not sitting down and breaking down film on Philadelphia.
And it's not, Christian Wood shouldn't have played tonight. You got to give Thon those minutes. It's not that. I think Christian Wood should have found his way into the rotation tonight. But he has to let Thon play his way out of the role.
And I'm telling you,
and it's not going to be 2 games in the year.
No.
It can be 10, 15 games.
But if Thon's playing bad, Christian Wood should get that opportunity in the same game, because at the end of the day, you're trying to win a basketball game.
You're right. I agree. That's what I just said. It doesn't mean keeping Christian Wood out of the game and just letting Thon be terrible. But it's not just going to be, all right, Thon, we're done. 2 games in the year.
I'm not saying that. Thon got his opportunity to come in today, and that's fine. But when Thon came in and was playing bad, that's when it's okay. I'm giving the opportunity to Christian Wood now in the second half
also,
to take Thon Maker's stint and see what he does with it. That's what I'm saying.
I get that, and I agree. But let Thon play his way out of the 100%. Rotation early in the year, too.
Yes.
Don't let it linger.
You have to understand.
But Casey's also shown a reluctancy to let players do that, because Langston Galloway did that a lot last year. He would go months of a stretch where he wasn't putting the ball in the cup, wasn't hitting three-pointers, wasn't filling his role.
This is a different situation.
He didn't make any changes.
There wasn't a young guy, though, that was like, yeah, they're going to overtake Langston's spot in the rotation. Dwayne Casey knows he has Christian Wood in his back pocket. And it will happen. But you have to let that progress in the first maybe 10 games. Thonmaker is going to get an opportunity, and they're not. Now, you don't make an unfair point in saying, hey, Thon played bad in his time all night. Maybe instead of his last 5 minutes on the floor, you redistribute those to Christian Wood and get him into some minutes. I'm not disputing, but Thonmaker has to play his way out. And you want to have, as bad as this sounds, you want to have the film and the evidence to say, hey, this is why you're not on the floor. And if you pull him and don't give him a chance to rebound, well, then you're never going to fully have that. You want to be able to make a convincing switch to Christian Wood.
It's all about managing egos.
100%. So I don't appreciate that this is the worst take you've ever made, because I'm very confident that I'm right on this one. I'm very confident. Thon will play his way out, or he will find his way in.
Yeah,
but it's Thon not going to happen on night number two.
Thon was playing his way out of the rotation in the playoffs last year.
But it's a new listen. That doesn't
okay. But look at let's go in terms. Let's start with the playoffs last year when Thon was.
It's a new year.
Horrible.
It's a new year.
Let's go to the preseason where Christian Wood was fantastic, one of the most productive Pistons on the floor.
But it's the preseason.
And Thonmaker failed to really make an impact.
That doesn't matter.
You go into the first two games of the year. Christian Wood plays 3 minutes. Thonmaker's played about 40 minutes so far. And Thonmaker hasn't had good minutes out on the floor.
Aaron, you're missing my... You're missing
no,
the whole
I
point.
Get your point of Thonmaker should get the opportunity, and you need to let Thonmaker play himself out of the rotation. I get that. But Thonmaker... You know, my whole point is if Thonmaker goes in and he plays bad in the first quarter or he plays bad in the first half, then Christian Wood needs to be given that opportunity in the second half to go and see what you can do. Yeah, you have to manage egos, but at the end of the day, these are grown men. If you're playing bad, you need to sit on the bench, especially if you're not an established NBA player. Thonmaker's not an established NBA player. There's a reason he didn't have that a defined role with the Bucks, because he wasn't an established NBA player.
And that,
he's a young kid that isn't a commodity.
And the time will come. I'm telling you. Now, if we're 10 games in and the same thing happens, this is a different conversation. But you're on the second game. He gets the first probably 5 to 7. I'm just telling you how it is. He's going to get the first 5 to 7.
Okay, and I'm just saying, I disagree with that philosophy.
And the first 5 happened to be all through October, right? I think they play 5. Is it 5 games in October? And then November 1 is game 6, I'm pretty sure. When you flip to November, that's when you might start to see it. And it might even take a couple games into November. But Dwayne Casey is not going to give up on Thonmaker this early.
Well,
because, yes, Christian Wood had a nice preseason. But I'm sorry, the nice preseason got Christian Wood onto the roster. And he's made the roster. And now he's going to have to prove in practice that he is equally as good, if not better, than Thonmaker. And then after Thon plays his way out, he will get his chance. And he will have to earn it. And that's how it is. I'm telling you how it is.
Okay, and I'm just saying that I disagree with that philosophy.
Well, it's about managing egos. It's about keeping a locker room. And if you take a flyer on a guy, like the Pistons went out, they made a move to bring in Thon. They've invested in
Thon's
future.
Thon was an investment.
Uh-huh.
Christian Wood was a flyer.
Exactly.
Was Thonmaker an investment? You gave up Stanley Johnson for him.
But
it's a guaranteed contract,
and he came in with a role, and you gave him a role last year.
Yes,
and even though he wasn't great, it was all about, you know, we got to give Thon some time to development and improve and learn into our system. You can't take a guy. Yeah, he didn't have a great year last year in Detroit. He comes in at the deadline. He's adjusting to a new city, a new locker room, new teammates. And obviously Giannis and him had a brotherly relationship that, well, now he's learning to manage not having that in the locker room. And he's building new relationships with players and coaches. That takes some time. And you're not going to do that and give him the rest of last season and whatever happens, happens. You're not going to say, hey, work hard this offseason. And yeah, you're going to be kind of slotted in as the backup big, and you're going to mentally and physically prepare for that. And then just strip him for a guy that going into preseason wasn't even on a guaranteed deal. Now, it doesn't need to take 30 games to make that switch. But Don's going to get an opportunity to keep his role or to lose it. And that's going to be about the first 10 games. That's just so people understand. That's what it's going to be. And if you don't have to like it, Aaron doesn't like it, that's okay. You don't have to like it. But mentally prepare yourself for it, because that's what it is.
Okay. I mean, again, final point, I disagree. That's that. It's fine. Let's move on.
So let's talk about this Atlanta game a little bit. And just kind of some of the drawbacks for Detroit from what you saw in game one. I think the biggest thing, they take a 63-60 lead into the locker room at half, and you could just see the legs were gone in the second half of play, where Atlanta comes out and, I mean, just kind of puts a clinic on in the second half, really owning the show and pulling away to win by 17.
The offense in the second half was an issue, but the defense throughout the entire game was an atrocity. They let up 60 points in the paint. Trae Young played a fantastic game. 37 points, 38 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds. Played extremely well. And what he was doing from the outside sucked the Pistons' interior defense out. It sucked Andre Drummond out of the paint because Drummond was not sinking. He was coming up and doubling off those pick and rolls that the Hawks were running. Coming over on top of Trae Young, trying to force a turnover. And then that allowed Trae Young to move the ball, and the Hawks were able to move it quickly enough to get looks inside. When they move the ball, and Andre Drummond standing up top at the perimeter, what the Pistons don't have a way to combat that. And the Pistons had to do that because their perimeter defense in the first quarter was so bad that Trae Young scored 16 points. Bruce Brown got absolutely lit up by Trae Young. He was a step slow every single time. And, you know, Langston Galloway had a little bit of success guarding Trae Young, but the guy still scored 38 points. And the Pistons don't have a slew of defensive-minded wings and guards to throw at him. You're not going to put a guy like Tony Snell on him. He's just too slow to guard a guy that's as quick and as slippery as Trae Young is. And, you know, Brown, as good of a defender as he is, he got bested tonight. He got bested really bad. And that definitely impacted the Pistons' paint defense, which once the scheme switched and they started coming up top on those screens, Atlanta imposed their will inside.
When Atlanta spaces the floor the way they do, for a team that isn't great defensively like Detroit, it's just going to kill them. Atlanta's spacing was fantastic. On top of a guy in Trae Young who is dominating your best defender, when you have to consistently help on that, on top of all the spacing issues you're facing as a defense, it just wasn't going to... It wasn't going to work out if the Pistons couldn't get it going offensively, and they couldn't. And it was their downfall tonight.
You know, it hurts, too, when Reggie Jackson is one of your primary offensive options at the guard spot, and you lose him. So now you're seeing a little bit more of an offensive need from a guy like Bruce to where maybe it takes away from his ability to lock down on defense with an increased role on the offensive side of things, where he has to be in a position to maybe attack more, create more, do more things than just his natural role.
Yeah, I don't think the Pistons were really changing up their offense to make Bruce do a ton of ball handling and commanding the basketball. I mean, he had a couple drives to the rim tonight, but I don't even know if that was a problem. I think Trae Young just went out and just really played extremely well.
He just had himself a game.
On the end of the Pistons logo.
Oh, yeah, I mean, just casually pulling up from the mid-court logo. Like, it was nothing.
And Reggie Jackson going down, and I can't even remember if I said this at the beginning of the podcast, but if Reggie Jackson's not 100%, which it's clear he's not, he needs to not be playing. Plain and simple.
You brought in a third point guard for this reason.
A capable third point guard
for this exact reason. Reggie looked very uncomfortable tonight because of his injury. Sit him down for a few games. I know it's tough going without Blake and Reggie. I get it. But you have a very capable third point guard that you brought in.
Play him. And not the schedule watch right at the beginning of the season, but you're playing Philadelphia on Saturday.
Right.
And you already don't have Blake Griffin. At the end of the day, you're not winning that game.
Chalk it up.
Sit Reggie Jackson down. Let him rest. I don't know how long Reggie needs to be on. I don't know what kind of, if there's treatment required, whatever it may be, sit him down. Because he's been, you know, probable. He was probable for the first game of the year. And he only played 20 minutes because, you know, he's just not 100%. And when you're with a guy, you're playing a guy that has that shaky injury history that Jackson does, you have to be overly cautious with him, just like you have to be overly cautious with Blake Griffin. You have Derrick Rose, who's healthy right now. You have Tim Frazier. You have Bruce Brown. You have those guys that can handle the basketball. You can afford to rest Reggie and make it work for the next however many games.
Absolutely, and especially on the Derrick Rose point. Derrick Rose, who's playing really well right now. I know the end of the Atlanta game was a bit rough those last few minutes, but in general, the Indiana game and this Atlanta game, playing very good basketball right now, Derrick Rose.
Yes, he's fitting in extremely well, better than I anticipated, and I'm
like, doesn't say much.
Well, and I said I'd be happy to be wrong about Derrick Rose, and I clearly have been so far through two games, you know, so it's an early reaction, but so far I have been wrong, and he's fit in extremely well. The turnovers in the Atlanta game, though, were extremely, extremely poor, and his shot stopped falling towards the end there because he was extremely efficient throughout the first three quarters, and he came in the fourth, tried to take over, which is, you know, and Ryan, you and I were talking about this during the game. We talked about Rose isn't trying to do too much. He's just playing within the game, and he's killing it. And in the fourth quarter,
literally immediately after that conversation we had.
And in the fourth quarter, he comes in, team's down, and he tries to take the game over, turns it over a pair of times in a row, misses his shots at the rim, and then turns it over again.
Seriously, we were talking about how in the Indiana game, and so far up to that point in the Atlanta game, it was just, he's just playing within himself and within the offense, and he's just taking what's given to him, and he's fantastic. I mean, Brendan, not even 2 minutes after this conversation, D-Rose just starts trying to do everything, and it just turned into a disaster.
It's tough.
Like, so...
But you're right, when he plays to what he's given on the floor, what the defense is giving him, and he's not forcing, he's so good.
It's been a true joy to watch Derrick Rose these first two games, outside the last little bit of this Atlanta game. Honestly, a joy. He's looking explosive. He's making great decisions. He's getting good shots, getting good drives to the back. Everything. It's been a joy to watch him.
Yeah. But when he's forcing, it's going to be tough.
Oh, it's not what we're looking for. It's gonna lead to some hard times for the Pistons if he's just gonna keep if he's gonna force. So
yeah, well, no doubt about it. But you know, so what else? Aaron, I'll look at you. What were some of your other takeaways? I mean, based off what your expectations were, I mean, thoughts on Tim Frazier getting some important minutes? I know you guys talked about, well, that's why you sign a third point guard and you don't need Reggie. Tim Frazier. To Ryan's point that he made in our, you know, level of importance little sequence we had a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean,
going to be important.
He should be. I mean, we just talked about why he should potentially, you know, he should play and the Pistons should sit Reggie down. But the guy I want to talk about for a second here is Tony Snell. And, you know, I've seen a lot of reactions about Tony Snell throughout the offseason, throughout the preseason and whatnot. And there's a lot of excitement over Tony Snell. And it was a very good move by Detroit to bring him in. Good player, can shoot the ball, does some nice things at 6'7", but at the end of the day, he's not going to be, I think, what people are hoping he's going to be. He's a 6-year vet, and he's never averaged more than 8.5 points per game in his career, and he's mainly been a starter. There's a reason because of that. He is very much so a spot-up shooter, stands in the corner, gets his, you know, dribble handoffs maybe with the Pistons here and there. But he's not a guy that you can run sets through, and you know, he's not going to be an explosive scorer ever. He's going to be a very par for the course kind of player. He's going to get you, you know, 6 to 12 points per night probably. He's never really going to hit those 20-point games, those 25-point games, and you know, that's going to be a problem for Detroit when, you know, Blake's out and Reggie's out, and the offense isn't getting enough out of a guy like Luke Kennard. They're still missing that big-time wing creator. And not that Snell's bad. He's good. And when the Pistons are at full strength and Blake is back, maybe you'll see a little bit more of why, you know, why the Pistons wanted to bring in Snell. But right now, I think there's been a lot of excitement about him. I think people have to understand what kind of player he really is.
I think something we talked about a little bit last night, I thought Snell was very solid and in his role, within his role. And tonight was a bit more, a tougher night for him, we'll say, all around. I think tonight is more of the outlier, and the Indiana game is more of what you can expect from Snell. But to your point, it's 10 points, it's 7 boards, and it's decent defense on the perimeter, having a true small forward in the rotation.
Yeah, it's not the offensive output that you should want from him. It's he's 6'7" and can play defense, and he can hit those spot up threes.
Yes, yeah, and I think that's more of what the season's going to consist of. Games like the Indiana game, not this Atlanta game, because tonight was a bit of a rough night for Snell. So yeah, I mean, like I honestly made the comment to you. I'm like, I don't mind having Snell on this team. I feel like it's a good fit to finally have a real small forward in our starting lineup. But it's not like it's like team changing or, you know, adding more projected wins or anything like that. So it's an interesting place to be.
It does help matchups though. It really helps from a matchup standpoint of not being so undersized on the wing.
Yeah, not running 2 6'5"s on the wing. You know, you finally have someone 6'7" with length. Like it's
the funny thing is, they get that small forward, and then they're forced to play him at power forward.
Yeah, I know.
And he's getting bullied by Jabari Parker and John Collins. And you know, the funny thing was actually he got his best looks in the Indiana game when he was playing the power forward spot, and then against Atlanta when he got pushed up to the four, he just got absolutely abused because he's just not big enough to bang down low with those Jabari Parker.
And this is
which
where,
is crazy because it's 2019 and Jabari Parker just had a very good game.
Right. I don't want to talk
to the party.
But that's where adjustments from Dwayne Casey come in. You see against a team that's more athletic at the big positions. That like Indiana is, you can move Tony Snell into that four spot, and he can not thrive, but thrive in a way. You know what I mean? Whereas when you have a team like Atlanta, where those bigs are more physical, more power centered, Len Parker. I know Collins has his athleticism, but he still likes to bang. Snell's gonna struggle with that. So it's all about matchups and how Casey adjusts. When you're going up against more athletic bigs, you can slide Snell up into that four. When you're going up against a power game, that's not going to be Snell's forte. He's what, 6'7", 150 pounds? You might want to take
pump
easy
the brakes.
Sliding him to that four.
Yeah, pump the brakes a little bit, you know? I guess I have to look at this, and I look at these first two games, and I think the big thing is you have some injuries, which kind of sucks, but you have to stay positive. At the end of the day, we're expecting the Pistons to be a 43-46 win team. Is that fair to say? You know? Which puts them about maybe the middle of the Eastern Conference at best. You know? They're going to lose some games here and there. And especially with injuries early on. It's already tough enough to replace 24.5 points. Now you got to replace starting production out of Reggie Jackson. So I guess you got to preach some patience early in the year and keep some hope for, well, as we get healthy, we have to stay hopeful things will turn around, and if they don't, we'll get negative then.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's the biggest fear of this season is already coming to light. Health. Injuries.
Everyone knew
this could be what brings it. Like, because you're right. I would say we're a touch more bullish on the Pistons on this pod, where we do believe, hey, this team can win 42, 43, 44 games. They could max out at a 5 seed. Like, we feel like there's enough talent to get to that point. Not saying they would, but they could. The thing that could hold them back was injuries. And the season has barely started, and we're already here.
Yeah.
Injuries. So let's not lose our minds yet, because we're 2 games in. But if it continues to trend this way, then it's a huge problem.
And then what do you do?
What do you do? Do you blow it up at that point? Do you trade?
Whoa, we're going to have to say that for another pod.
I know, it's a different pod. But these are things that have been brought up by, national media guys.
Yeah.
So like, what happens if Detroit struggles out of the gate? Do they blow it up? Well, what if the struggles are because of injury? Do you blow it up then? You know, it's. I'm not saying let's dive into it now.
Yeah.
But those are.
It's funny because those thoughts always just are in the back of your mind.
Always in the back of your mind. And that's. It's constantly being brought to light by national media. Guys who have those big followings. Always putting out there. No one's ever confident in the Pistons, or no national media guy ever says anything good about the Pistons. It's always, at what point do they blow it up? At what point do they blow up? If they're injured this year because they have a rash of guys who have an injury history, do they blow it up? That's what it's all about. And here we are, two games in, already talking about injuries. Blake Griffin, Reggie Jackson, Derrick Rose looks healthy, but he took that weird fall last night.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
dude, that Rose fall.
What? I don't know. Like, it's just, it's always in the back.
Then you could hear around the state of Michigan, everyone just, a collective moment of like,
the second you saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, it's over already.
My heart stopped.
I was like, we are 30 minutes in to the Rose experiment, and it's done.
Yeah. Everybody's loving the Rose experiment, and then bam, there you go. But no, he was able to get up, thank goodness. And then they were like, oh, he's favoring it, he flexed it during his free throw, and you're like,
and then
he's done, he's coming out, it's over.
I wasn't watching the game at a certain point today because I was in the car, but I had it on the radio, and at some point, Champion and Mahorn were like, Derrick Rose, hurt again, he's flexing his wrist, is he coming out? I'm like, wait, what's going on now? Like, so who knows, man? Clearly it was nothing, but... Like, it just always seems like it could be something here.
You're always worried with him.
Always worried.
But he needs to stay healthy. We can't afford it.
No.
Yeah, I mean, hey, he led the Pistons in shots tonight, 16 shot attempts. So.
But they needed it.
Yeah.
And you put up 23 points or whatever?
I know I gave Drummond props at the beginning of the podcast, but again, want to give him props on the back end here. Incredible against the Pacers. Good tonight against the Hawks, but...
It seemed like they went away from him. It didn't seem like that was on him.
Though. Right, right. It was. They didn't go to him very much in the second half, and you can't expect Drummond to initiate for himself a ton because the dude played 41 points yesterday, or played 41 minutes yesterday, and had the usage of like 100. Like I mean, you know, but still found a way to score 18 points, had 12 rebounds, had a very good first half. He just looks like a different player this year.
Oh, Dre's on a new level.
He wants that money so bad.
He's trying to get the bag, man. He wants that extension. He wants to get paid, and he's gonna play like it. He'll drive himself to the exhaustion level.
The thing that's exciting about that is he knows he gets that money staying here.
Yeah,
and he wants to stay here. Which I mean, obviously, he could get traded. He could sign an extension elsewhere, but. It's kind of exciting. Like, hey, he not only wants that money, I think he wants to be here, and he's working for it here. You know, not a well could do whatever and you know buy into my option and deal with it a year from now. He's all in from the early signs. We're only two games in, but it's been exciting to see so far. No doubt about it. It's what we said we needed out of Dre.
You know? Yeah, I mean, it's not okay. He has to put up 30 and 20 every night, but it's just this confidence and this leadership and his ability to create when he's given the opportunity. Like, I don't know. There's just something about it, man. It's a different level of Dre this year so far. We're two games in, but so far.
We're two games in, a 1-1 record. Detroit has to move forward.
Don't panic. It's not time for that yet.
Aaron?
Oh, absolutely don't panic. There's no business.
Just because they lost to the Atlanta Hawks. Like, I know us on the pod earlier, two pods ago, whatever it was, I talked about how you can't lose to Atlanta. That has to be a must-win game. Well, circumstances kind of changed without Blake Griffin. And then you got to remember, it's a back-to-back, and it's a road and home back-to-back against a team who's young, so they have fresh legs. The Pistons don't have those mid-season legs yet, so games 1 and 2 as a back-to-back, that's tough. Like, that's very tough. So, don't
sweat it yet.
Don't sweat it.
This isn't look at these guys playing kiss ass. No, just don't sweat it yet. Well, I think if you consistently listen to us enough, you know that we'll tell you how it is.
We're Pistons fans. Eventually, we are going to start sweating it. You know, we're eventually going to have those breakdowns of, what is going on? It's over. It happens. We're Pistons fans, guys. We like the Pistons. We follow the Pistons. We know how this goes. We're two games in. We're okay right now.
So stay positive if this is a little Thursday night feel session for you. Maybe it's a Friday session. You know what? Maybe we're even catching this after a Saturday game versus Philly. Lord knows what's going to happen in that one. But nonetheless, stick with us, right? Things are going to be okay. We're doing all right. .500 record to this point. So you take it, you keep moving with it. But before you move on from this podcast, you got to do a couple things for us. First of all, like, rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. You know the business. You listen every week, I give you the same spiel. We're on YouTube. Great content coming out all the time. Our fastest growing social network. Make sure you check us out on there. Hit that subscribe button. We're on Twitter, of course, at Palace of Pistons. Aaron's at AJohnsonNBA. Ryan at Ryan Pay. Myself at Media Brendan. On Instagram at Palace Pistons. You can check out the Facebook page as well. We're everywhere. We're always active. So leave us some comments. Interact with us on social media. Let us know your thoughts. Some things you want us to talk about maybe next week on the pod. We'd love to hear from you. So I have one more note before wrapping up the pod. Do not tweet and drive. Because you know what happens when you tweet and drive? You tweet something with five keys after Pistons game one win versus Atlanta, and you only put four of them down and label it 1, 2, 3, 5.
Yeah, I wonder what moron did that.
So, I don't know. There's no record of it now. It might be gone. But don't tweet and drive. Don't text and drive. And don't freak out. Everything's going to be okay. And we will be back next week here on the Palace Pistons podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.